Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, thank you, Ian. We're going to talk with Henry Hartevelt later on, travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group, about that plane crash yesterday that they had, the explosion, and also about the problems with the federal government and the shutdown. But first, we're joined by Anita Raj, Executive Director of Tulane University's Newcomb Institute. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for inviting me, Tommy.
Thanks for taking the time with us. We love talking to you, as always. We wanted to talk to you about this piece we saw in the Illuminator about the talent pipeline that built American innovation is drying up, especially in the South. Get us started, please, if you would, Professor.
Well, this story is a little bit more personal than some of my other work, because I'm the daughter of a professor who was in Mississippi, and also immigrants. Mm-hmm. And this was, at a time in Mississippi where they were building up higher education in the 60s. There was a lot of influx of funding from the government to try to build up higher education and opportunity for higher education, particularly with the historically black colleges and universities. And there just simply weren't enough people that had the necessary qualifications to be professors there. So they recruited people from around the world, and my father was a postdoc in South Carolina, and he got his first faculty position there, and it's had an enormous influence on me choosing to work in higher education and become a professor, and got to live in Boston, got to live in California, and ultimately came back to be a professor here at Tulane in Louisiana. And if we don't make those opportunities available, I'm really worried about the quality of faculty that we're going to be able to have and the scientists we're going to be able to produce.
When you say opportunities, you mean by from people, recruiting people from other countries, from other states? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so if what we say is we want a world-class university. I mean, I certainly pride myself. I was at Boston University. I was at the University of California. And now I'm at Tulane. I believe I'm at world-class universities. And to have world-class universities, you need world-class scholars. And so you want to recruit from around the world. And we've had a dramatic decline in the number of foreign scholars we've been able to recruit into the U.S. And that is in particular into our graduate programs. A lot of people think that this decline in our international student population is affecting availability of slots for undergraduates, but it's actually what it's doing is it's affecting how many people we're getting into our engineering graduate programs, into our medical graduate programs, into health industry. And those are some of the driving industries of our state. And so we in the South are particularly vulnerable to this loss.
So if you want children to educate themselves with STEM courses and become involved in that, and then go on to be American-born and made and all that stuff. However you want to say it, Professor, there's going to be a lot of lead time between now and when these graduate positions are available, so there's going to be a hole for talent is what we're saying, right?
Absolutely. And then, you know, that hole is going to affect our economy pretty quickly. You know, we're actively trying to build our economy, and our strongest economy elements are the energy industry and healthcare. And so those are industries where we really need to have a workforce. And if we don't give ourselves some space to be training talent here that stays here by allowing students from anywhere in the world to come, we're not going to have the population we need, because a lot of people who might come here, they leave, you know? So this is a great opportunity for us to be able to build our educated population. Only about 1% of our state has a PhD, so we can't recruit from within the state. We have to go outside the state.
Tell me about the 1965 Immigration and Nationality Act and why it came into existence.
Yeah, so this was under Kennedy and then Johnson, and it basically was the idea that we wanted to build as a nation in science and technology and math. Science and math, actually, was really how they spoke of it at that time. And we didn't have the scientists and mathematics scholars to be able to have those jobs filled. And so my father was actually somebody who was a professor at a very illustrious university in India called Delhi University. And he opted to come to the U.S. because the laboratories were so rich with some of the greatest technologies of the time in South Carolina. And, you know, interestingly, that's actually the same college that Nikki Haley's father also immigrated to do, again, botany, as my father did, as postdocs. And so you can see the ripple effects of who, you know, what can be produced out of those individuals that come. They do produce people who want to stay and commit to local states, our states here in the Gulf South.
Immigration has kind of become a flashpoint, if you will. But the United States, I don't think, would have been able to compete with the Soviet Union or would have been able to get to the moon were it not for a lot of German scientists, right?
That's absolutely right. And that was because people left Germany, right? Mm-hmm. And so now the worry is we're having scientists leave the U.S. because there's things like Choose France for Science programs and opportunities like that to really build research. And so this is all happening at the time of federal budget cuts for grant opportunities as well. So it's a worrisome time, honestly, to hold our place as the greatest nation in the world for science, technological growth. And now we're talking about AI. And, you know, we cannot be an economic force as a nation, and we certainly can't as a region, without having the best scholars come. They often stay, and they often continue to build the economies.
Are international students a drain on the economy?
Well, in fact, in Louisiana alone, our approximately less than 7,000 international students ended up accounting for over 2,000 jobs and about $265 million in economic impact in just 2021 alone.
You are an American citizen, right?
I am. I was born in the U.S.
That's the point I'm making. And I think what people don't realize is when students do emigrate to the country and they come in for STEM courses, et cetera, as you're saying, they stay and then they contribute people that raise the I hate to say intelligence level of the country. Help me out here, Professor, because I'm fumbling over my words, but you know what I'm getting to, right?
I would say raise the opportunities for education.
There you
and
go.
Raise the capacities of the state to contribute to a stronger economy.
That's what I was trying to say in my own clumsy way. Tell me what it was like for you growing up.
That's a complicated question. You know, I grew up in...
That's why I asked it, Professor.
Okay, I have a great answer, though. I grew up in 1970s Mississippi, and Mississippi had to rely on immigrant scholars a little bit more than Louisiana did, and that has a lot to do with the fact that Louisiana was producing PhDs here at a higher rate through schools like Tulane, Xavier. And so there was a bit more reliance. I grew up in the time of the civil rights tensions, mm-hmm. and it was quite complicated. I grew up at a time where, you know, there were segregationist academies that were forming. And I have to say that the reason I ended up going to Tulane University as a student when, you know, in the 1980s was because New Orleans always was a place that welcomed diverse populations and where I felt comfortable and safe. And, you know, it really brought me back to Tulane today. And I still feel like that about New Orleans. I know a lot of people like, oh, the crime, but I love this city, and I feel safe and I feel valued, and I feel that in Louisiana, and I just really want the opportunity for many others to experience that.
The reason I asked is that Mississippi in the 70s could be a very racist place, right? I mean, I don't think that's going out on a limb to say that. And I was just wondering where you and your family fit into that, because, you know, you pick who you hate, right? And I always thought it's silly because it's like going to a paint store or something. You hold up a slab of colors, like, well, you I like, you I don't like, you I might like, maybe if you'd be a shade lighter. I mean, that's how ridiculous it is in a way, is it not?
I think it's ridiculous, and I think the sad reality is that I feel that there were elements where I grew up with racist, you know, with slurs, with mistreatment, and it wasn't from the people who I knew, right? So my experience, I always had friends. My parents, they moved to the country, so I didn't have grandparents. And there was this couple that lived on the street, grandmama and granddaddy Gordy, whose kids had moved away, and they were my grandparents. And that's in 1970. These white people, like, they loved me as their own grandchild. Mm-hmm. And so the people who knew us, if they had those feelings, they seem to get over it pretty fast after spending time with us. And I think that's just really the reality of racism. It's often these notions that people hold without the knowledge. And that's true with the anti-immigrant perspective too. It's often people who don't necessarily know the people, and people are people. And it was a beautiful and positive experience, as well as, yes, I experienced racism. A lot of my extended family still live there.
I'm no Anita Raj, but I'll tell you this. I take what you just said and I make it into this example, and that is, if you don't know your neighbors and they have a dog that's barking, you're thinking, what in the world is going on with that dog? Why can't they shut that dog up? But once you know your neighbors and you know the dog's name is Fluffy, then when you hear the same exact thing going on, you're wondering, I hope everything's all right. I wonder what Fluffy's barking about. Maybe Fluffy needs this, maybe Fluffy needs that. It's all about, once you know somebody, it's kind of hard to hate them, isn't it? Well, I mean, let's face it, some people are not likable, but you understand what I'm saying, generally speaking.
I think so. I think most people have goodness in their heart, and maybe that's a nice thing to say, and most people want to connect with other people. And if we can find ways to make those connections, allow the people that we need to come into this country to make our schools stronger and our economy stronger, with thought. This is something that we have to consider, what we want, what we need, how we benefit, certainly as a nation. But closing blindly is going to hurt us, and I really hope we don't do that.
So let me take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about how we can juice up that pipeline that's drying up, especially here in the South, and decrease the brain drain and open up the valve and get some brains flowing in. We're talking to Anita Raj, Executive Director of Tulane University's Newcomb Institute. She's got more degrees than a thermometer. I know you've heard that one before, Professor, but I had to use it. We'll take a break. Come back. WWL. 927, talking to Dr. Anita Raj, Executive Director of Tulane University's Newcomb Institute, about the talent pipeline that built American innovation drying up, especially in the South. How would you reverse that flow, Doc?
Well, one thing I think is going to be really important is to ensure that we are making policies and engaging in actions that welcome scholars, facilitate scholars that are our best and brightest from the world to be able to come into the country. I think right now there's a lot of concern from people outside the country that they could be picked up for a social media post or a article that they write in the student newspaper. And so really shifting the norms to be able to allow for respectful discourse or discussion on an issue that they understand, and really facilitating that to be discourse oriented. Any threat, obviously, is not acceptable. But right now we have students whose speech is being crushed because the idea is that there's not freedom of speech. But the idea that you would be able to come and not speak at a university and participate in discourse is going to be is really problematic. So that's one thing. Another thing is just making opportunities available for it not to take so long to be able to get your visa process. So because we've had people who just they just didn't get the visas in time, and that's very new. So I know India alone, and we do have a lot of Indians, students from India who come to the U.S., we had a 44% decline, between 40 and 44% decline in the number of international students we brought in. And that's really compromising our graduate programs because most of those students go to graduate school. And so if we don't have the numbers to support our graduate programs, they don't take in, they just won't be able to have a good class. For any student who participates in that graduate program. Another thing that I think is really important is, of course, that we'd like to see the restoration, or I certainly would, and I think I speak for a lot of scholars, restoration of federal funding to National Institutes of Health, National Science Foundation, to help ensure that there is opportunity for research and development. That alone, that's not just for immigrant scholars, that just sustains us to be able to produce world-class scholarship, and that will, you know, people will come when you want to be part of world-class teams. People will come from around the world to be part of those world-class teams. So I think those are some of the key areas.
I think somehow, and I was having this conversation earlier today with somebody, I think that somehow university research has become demonized when in fact, but for research at universities, a lot of things that we have that make our life better would not exist. Accurate?
That is accurate, and I want to highlight that in one very specific way that I got to hear about recently at a meeting at Tulane, which is that there's a lot of enthusiasm and investment in rebuilding the downtown and making it more of a not just a strong and thriving medical area, but also a biomedical research area. And those funds are going to be really important. Federal funds are going to be really important to help make that happen. In addition to philanthropy and foundation funds, and that will absolutely change who we can have here, what we can offer here. We need the people to be able to come. We need to recruit from around the world because that research is life-saving, and those clinical trials can be life-saving for the people in Louisiana who struggle to get health care.
Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate your time. Any other thoughts you want to share with us before we let you go?
Now, I just really appreciate, as always, Tommy, you helping us get these messages out to everybody and giving a forum where we can have really great conversations. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for all you do. And I know your work involves domestic violence, and a lot of that can be traced back to poverty, and a lot of that can be traced back to lack of education. So one leads to the other, right?
Absolutely. And economic distress, the economics of our state have huge impact on the levels of violence we see in our state. This is a solution, and it's a really easy solution to tap into, is to help ensure that we have a strong workforce and can build our economy.
And I talked to you today, and then yesterday we were talking about pre-K, so I'm all over the education spectrum. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Great day, Tommy.
You too. Thank you. 9:32, we'll take a break, talk about what's going on with the federal government and transportation and airlines and so forth. Right now we take a break for new traffic on WWL. 9:38, 22 till 10. Henry Hartevelt joins us now, our friend, travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group, a travel industry market research firm. And I saw the news last night, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy not painting a really good picture about air travel. How you doing, Henry?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm well, and you're right. Secretary Duffy has said that if the shutdown continues, there is a risk some airspace may actually have to be closed. In the interest of safety.
What does that mean to the flying public? Airspace closed? Because you know what? The first thing I thought of when I heard that was 9/11. I swear to goodness, I'm not trying to say it's anything like that at all. I'm just talking about airspace being closed. That's the first thing I thought of.
Tommy, you know, your thought is not an unreasonable one. What it means is that, and this is the first time it would happen, if it does happen, that there might be some portions of the national airspace that are closed to air traffic. So it's not like 9/11 where everything was closed.
Right.
But there could be some sections. We don't know how large it would be. We don't know if it would be just for a few minutes or a few hours. Would it be for days? There's a lot of unknown here. There's even some speculation that the secretary may have misspoken and that we actually wouldn't need to do that. But the fact he said this is sending panic through airlines, and it's creating a lot more tension with travelers, too.
What in the world does that even look like? Because I know if a computer system goes down, it's one thing. If the weather is bad, it's another thing. It seems to me, Henry, to be a very delicate balance as it is for these flights to run on time, for everything to work as it's supposed to work. When you got something like this factored in, it would seem as though it makes it almost impossible for things to work like they're supposed to work.
You're right, Tommy. And look, even before the shutdown, we were several thousand air traffic controllers short. The FAA has some controllers hired and in training. Right now, I think that training is suspended because of the shutdown. But what this might mean is it's like trying to balance out the system. So let's just, rather than use city names, I'm just going to use ABC. Let's say that Region B is understaffed. So the FAA would say, okay, we're going to not allow flights through that region for a certain amount of time. Instead, we'll send those flights through regions A and C in the interest of safety. But that means, of course, that there are more planes than normal flying through those open spaces. That could lead to delays. That could lead to delays on the ground, slower speeds in flight. And it could be very chaotic. It could mean that flights in and out of major hubs are not just delayed, but some airlines may say, you know what, we're just going to cancel flights because we know we can't operate as reliably as we need to, and we don't want to risk anything. So I'm very, very concerned, and we all need to be concerned.
And the margins are very thin anyway, aren't they? So when it comes to fuel, if you're flying through this area or that area or around that area, then somebody's going to have to pay for that?
Well, okay, so let's talk about this. Airlines always put extra fuel on the plane. It's what's called known as reserve fuel. And by the way, they don't always fill the planes to capacity with fuel because let's say a plane's going a short distance, it may not need all that fuel. Mm-hmm. But they may put more fuel on board in anticipation of longer than average delays or more circuitous routings. And that is, by the way, that costs the airlines money. And they're going to try to recover that. How? Through higher airfares in the future. So it's not a good situation.
What are you hearing from people, the traveling public now, or from travel agents or from the people in your industry about the lines that we're seeing? Is that because of TSA agents? Is that because of air traffic controllers? A little bit of A, a little bit of B?
It's a little bit of A and a little bit of B. Look, first, I want to commend everybody who is working at the airport and works for the federal government, whether you're an air traffic controller, work for the TSA or some other agency or entity. That most of the TSA agents are showing up. Most of the air traffic controllers are showing up, and they haven't been paid for a long time. However, in Houston, at Houston Bush Intercontinental, there were so few TSA screening agents that showed up for work the other day, they could only operate two of the many screening gateways at that airport. And there were 3-plus-hour waits to clear airport security. People missed flights. There are reports that sick rates, absenteeism among TSA officers is starting to spike. And that's what also concerns me, because the air traffic controllers may be there, but if we can't get through security, we can't get on the planes. Even personally, I'm supposed to go to Dallas on Saturday. I'm concerned about how early I need to show up at San Francisco International for screening on what would normally be an off-peak day. I did check today. New Orleans International, Louis Armstrong New Orleans International, appears to be functioning smoothly, but it just takes one day, one incident, and it could all fall apart.
What would you advise people that have flights booked or are thinking about with the holidays coming up, booking flights?
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well,
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign. No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Bites, do you hope that this is all over with by then? I don't know what you would tell somebody, Henry.
You know, Tommy, look, just simply as a citizen of this country, I hope this ends soon. But I'm traveling for Thanksgiving as well, as are millions of people. If you have reservations booked for Thanksgiving, I would encourage everyone, if this shutdown should be continuing at that time, please get to the airport extra early. If you normally get there 90 minutes, maybe allow yourself 2 hours. If you get there 2 hours early, maybe get there even earlier. I know airports aren't fun for a lot of people to wait in, but if the lines are longer, you don't want to miss your flights. Double check how much connecting time you have. If you're connecting between flying from New Orleans to wherever your end destination is, to make sure you've got a buffer. See if the airline will work with you to give you rebook you without an increase in fare on a flight that may, again, give you more time at the connecting airport, just in the interest of reducing your stress. And just be patient. It's going to be, if the shutdown continues, it's going to be patient. If you're going somewhere close by, if you're going somewhere within, let's say, 300 to 500 miles and you can do it, consider driving.
I would. I guarantee I would, Hart. Henry, I got to tell you, I would. Just because I hate the hassle of it all. I really do. I hate the hassle of it, Henry, and I would really drive if it was safe. If I was going to Dallas or Houston or even San Antonio from New Orleans, I'd drive. I wouldn't even fool with it. Is that a bridge too far or not?
No, it's not. I mean, again, what we have to do is we have to look out what's in our best interests as individuals and as travelers. And if we want to get to where we're going for Thanksgiving without stress, or at least more stress than normal, then driving may be the answer. So, you know, whether you're going over to some of the major cities in Texas or perhaps, somewhere in Arkansas or Tennessee or Atlanta, whatever, some of the places in northern Florida, maybe driving is the best answer for you. But again, let's just hope that this shutdown is resolved well before Thanksgiving. One of the concerns I do have, by the way, even if the shutdown ends tomorrow, if TSA has lost a lot of screening workers, I don't know if they can go back to work immediately or if they have to go through training. If they quit their jobs, the TSA is going to have to scramble to hire people. That's going to take time. And you know, I think this is also going to really change a lot of people's interest in working at TSA or for the FAA, because they're going to say, I don't want my job to be subject to government shutdowns and the uncertainty of not getting a paycheck.
Does this eventually wash over onto the airlines where if they have to cancel flights, that affects flight crews and that affects either in the cockpit or in the rest of the plane on the ground, et cetera?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take this. So let's say the flight's scheduled. Of course, the pilots and flight attendants are as anxious as anybody about, will the flight leave on time? Will it arrive on time? Will they make it to their connecting? You know, if they have to work another flight, will that be on time? If they're heading home, will they get home on time? So that's stressful. If they don't have to worry about the TSA screening lines at most airports, they have special screening lines for airline employees. But the air traffic control uncertainty, that definitely weighs on them.
So when it comes, somebody texted in, they're going to Vegas tomorrow. You said, that, I guess they can check with the airline here. But when it comes to where they're going, it would depend on if the Vegas airport is stocked with or staffed with air traffic controllers that they need, et cetera, right? And TSA wouldn't really apply getting off the plane, but it would when they were coming back.
Correct. So all of the things that we think about when we leave our hometown, whether it's New Orleans or elsewhere, applies to when we are coming back. And if we're making a connection en route, let's say you're going from New Orleans via a hub city to Vegas, you've got to be concerned about the air traffic controllers en route and at that hub airport in the control tower there. A few days ago, DFW International Airport was short-staffed in the towers. They could only operate runways on one side of the airport because they didn't have enough controllers to staff and safely operate both sides of the airport.
Are you concerned safety-wise?
I'm not concerned safety-wise because safety is paramount. The FAA is, and again, this is why Secretary Duffy said that they might have to close airspace. It would be in the interest of safety. No pilot is going to operate a plane in an unsafe manner or allow it to be operated in an unsafe manner. No airline will allow its planes to be operated in an unsafe manner. But I am concerned that in the interest of safety, if airspace is closed or restricted, if delays continue to grow among air traffic control, that airlines may say, in the interest of safety, we are going to start canceling flights. And that's going to make air travel even more chaotic because flights are heavily booked right now. And especially as we go into Thanksgiving, they're generally booked 85% or more full. And that leaves very little wiggle room in the system to reaccommodate people if they are on flights that are canceled.
Who gets, if you're on a flight that's canceled, and they can't get you on the plane until a week later, for example, and somebody had a reservation, who takes precedent at that point? Do you know how the or does it differ airline?
It varies. It's based on the airlines. But let's put it this way. If your flight is canceled, chances are other flights are canceled. Mm-hmm. So the way it generally works in priority being rebooked, it depends on where you're traveling from, cabin class you're booking, is it coach or first class or whatever, the fare and type of fare you paid, are you an employee of a company that has a contract with that airline, your frequent flyer status, and some other factors. I will say that some airlines do try to prioritize families with little kids because, again, one good thing about airlines, the people work there, their parents too, so they do try to take care of families with little kids. But there are all sorts of different factors that they consider. And look, if your flight is canceled and you're told we can't get you somewhere for a day or two or longer, you can ask for a refund, and they have to give you a refund to your original form of payment.
How quickly do you think things, if this ends today, let's just be optimistic and figure it ends today, how long would it take to get back to so-called normal?
Tommy, if we see it end today, or let's just say the day it ends, I would give 24 to 72 hours for things to snap back to normal. And again, a lot will depend on factors such as with air traffic controllers, most are keeping their jobs. They're not quitting. So that's good. They can get back into the control towers in the traffic control centers on the ground. So that I'm less worried about. I am more concerned with TSA. If they have seen employees quit, I don't know how easy it is to bring those people back if they have to go through any training or rescreening. Or if they don't want to come back, then the TSA has to hire new people. And that's a tough situation, even when things are good.
And the other side of it, if this goes on, at what point do they start losing air traffic controllers, or do they? Because, you know, at some point you got to get paid, right? I mean, people have cash flow issues.
Oh, Tommy, that's a very fair point. Again, you know, we are talking about people, and we are all, so many of us are struggling to make ends meet. You know, I don't know many air traffic controllers that are in the top 1% of income earners, right? So they're trying to figure out how to make ends meet. At some point, they may say, as much as I love the job I do as an air traffic controller, I have to find a way to provide for my family. And they could quit. Now, being an air traffic controller is a generally considered a well-paid job. It's highly skilled. And I don't think a lot of the air traffic controllers want to quit their jobs outright.
But, you know, Henry, the thing I worry about is that it is relatively high paid. Not, you know, you're not going to get rich or anything like that. If you're making $30,000 a year, you think they're rich, but they really aren't. And I'm not knocking anybody that's making $30,000 a year. I guess the point I'm making is if they can find something making equivalent money without anywhere near that stress, I would doubt they'd go back. Do you?
Correct. I mean, it all depends on factors such as seniority, pension and retirement, things like that. And frankly, their passion for the job. These air traffic controllers are passionate about what they do. They're committed to it. And as stressful as it is, they love what they do. And there's so much respect for them. But you're absolutely right. At some point, if you are able to find another job that appears to be steadier, more reliable source of income, it will pay you close to as much or more than what you're earning as an air traffic controller, or for that matter, a TSA airport security screening officer, you're going to take that other job.
Yeah, because the air traffic, and I don't mean, again, to pick favorites, but an air traffic controller has to have a certain skill set that would be applicable in other areas, right?
Yes. I mean, think about this. They are really, really good at solving problems. They're really good at managing challenging situations. They excel at working under stress.
Right.
So they could look for other jobs. But, you know, again, companies like to hire square pegs for square holes. So sometimes that's a challenge, too.
Henry, I hope everything works out with your flight.
Thank you, Tommy.
God bless you. Travel safely. All right. Thank you. Henry Hartefelt, travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group, travel industry market research firm. Get there early. That's the only thing we can tell you. We'll take a break. Come back. WWL.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.